Good to see everybody this evening. There is almost without exception that there is always exceptions to the rule. April the 15th, we pay taxes to the government. That is for everyone with exception of those that make over a certain amount of money, that have jobs, that are not derelict, that are not homeless, that are not able to work. There are exceptions to rules. And I'm convinced also that as we look into God's will and what He has for us, that there are exceptions to rules that He has set forth for us. And so I ask, are you the exception to the rule? Do you need not to be baptized? And we look back and we see baptism is for remission of sins in Acts 2nd chapter and verse 38. Already that raises an exception to the rule. One that is not guilty of sin, one that does not know right and wrong, is exception to this rule. That when there is nothing to be forgiven, if there is nothing to be removed from one's life, well then, there's the exception to that rule. In Acts 22 and verse 16, there is nothing to wash away if one is not guilty of sin. It's an exception to the rule. Baptism is for salvation. We see that in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. The only exception of those outside of other exceptions, of course, was Jesus Christ, wherever He was baptized. And even though the baptism that He was baptized with, the call of that gospel that was being taught, not only by John and later by Jesus Himself, really goes back to the explanations in Luke the 3rd chapter and verse 3. It was for remission of sins. But Jesus was the exception to the rule because He did no sin. And John, of course, the baptizer, He questioned Jesus about that. I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, allow it to be so now that we fulfill all righteousness. That God's will is done and that Jesus setting forth an example for us of obedience was baptized. Not for remission of sins. But baptized as an example of obedience. Wherever you think that, are you outside where you are the exception to the rule? And let me just explain that for a moment. If you don't understand what I just said, you are the exception to the rule. There's no need for you to be baptized at this time. If you don't understand what is right and wrong, if you don't understand that you need to be obedient to God, if you cannot comprehend that particular concept that is taught in God's Word, you're an exception to the rule. But if you did understand it, well then you're not. And you're not equal to Jesus Christ. You need to be baptized for remission of your sins if you understand that concept. You need not be identified with the local congregation. And there are many that today, they act as though they are roving Christians that just go around where they want to go around. That's very convenient quite often, by the way. And I've seen that happen a whole lot, especially in areas where there are several congregations. We're somewhat in that situation. There are several around us. Somebody gets upset with something that is done, something that is said, something that the preacher preached, something that the elder stood up for. Well, then they just go ahead and move on to another congregation. They get mad there and then they're able to move on again. But when we look back, we see that even Saul, he understood that there was a need to be identified with the local church and work with the local church. We see that in Acts 9 chapter and verse 26. He tried to join himself, the disciples there at Jerusalem, after he was converted. We understand they rejected him, and rightfully so. Rightfully so, because they were afraid. Until, of course, Barnabas came and said, no, this man is a child of God, and gave a commendation for him. So Paul saw the need. Barnabas saw the need when you look in verse 27, giving that commendation to Saul of Tarsus at that time. And then also, wherever you see the work that had been established and was ongoing at Antioch of Syria, that Jerusalem had found out about and had sent Barnabas to, he realized that there was need there for teachers and for those that would instruct. And so he went and he sought Saul of Tarsus and brought him to the congregation there, where he worked with that congregation for quite some period of time. We also see Paul wrote of the need to be identified with the local church and working with the local church. In Ephesians 4, verse 15 through 16, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I'll point out to you here in this particular aspect, as we look at this context, it is not only that we recognize the need of being a member of a local church, and that we join ourselves in that work of the local church, but also there is a personal benefit from every member in connection with that, and that is the edification that comes about. Not just from the standpoint of obedience unto God, but also that point of safety, that support system that we have, that is members one of another. And so Peter, in essence, wrote of this same need when we look in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 3. Where he talks about him being an elder, as others were also, and being examples to the flock. And there you have that protection, you have that guidance, you have those that are fed and cared for by the elders in a congregation. Do you not need to be identified with the local congregation? Do you not need to be involved in the work? Or are you the exception? I'm going to say that if you are a child of God and you're looking to be pleasing to the Lord, then you will join yourself with the congregation, not just be identified by the directory, but also from the standpoint of working with it. Well, what in the world could I do? What could I do? You may say, I'm a single woman, I'm not married, there's not one thing that I can do. Single women teach. Single women invite others. Single women help others of the congregation. Same thing with single men. Everyone has an opportunity to be involved in that work. If you understand these things, then you're not the exception. You need to be involved in the work. Do you need not attend? An inspired writer gave the command to attend in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 24 and 25. And that was about, of course, the edification and security in connection with not forsaking the assembling together with the saints. And there are those who say, I just don't need to. I pray to the Lord all the time, and that's enough to suffice. And I don't find anywhere in Scripture where just prayer to the Lord by a Christian suffices being pleasing, nor involved in that work, and nor involved in the need for edification and teaching that is received by being in attendance. There are those that just will not attend. Paul wrote of the need when we look at 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, it sets forth in that particular verse really the attributes and the benefits of being a child of God and attending. That as we, when we come in the name of the Lord Jesus, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, of course, Paul speaking there, and in essence, we can still say the same thing because he wrote by inspiration. With the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is in accordance with his will. And the same thing is true today. It doesn't matter that this was written 2,000 years ago. There's a need for that attending. Paul wrote of the need in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. And I recognize that that can be done outside the assembling, but also include being a part of the assembly and involved in the worship. I will submit to you that there is a weakening effect by those that refuse to attend, a weakening effect in their life. They start out with the excuse of, I'm not attending because of these reasons. And as I've seen over the years, those reasons have a way of growing more and more as time goes on. And they don't become reasons anymore, they just become excuses that do not excuse them. Paul wrote of the need, we understand that. I ask, are you the exception to the rule? Are you so self-efficient, self-sufficient, that you don't need to be with other saints? that you can draw everything that you need upon just by being alone with yourself. Not coming together and remembering the Lord's death on the first day of the week. Not hearing the gospel of Christ taught. Are you so self-efficient that you're different from every other Christian that has been exhorted by God that you don't need to attend? I'll suggest to you that you're not. Do you need not study? Paul gave the command, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, a worker that needs not be ashamed. I will submit to you on that also, that we will be ashamed if we're not a worker with the understanding of God's will and if we are not rightly dividing the word of truth. And that comes about by when we come together and also in personal studies and so forth, by coming to an understanding of God's word and the need for that study. We see that we are commanded to grow. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 through 3. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's not talking about newcomers to the faith. He's talking about Christians that grow by the sufficient word, the milk of the word that is sufficient for us to grow spiritually thereby. And so there's that growth that is to be given. We see also in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. By not attending, by not studying God's Word, by not looking at the edification that is given through teaching and being present even to hear that, I believe that we miss out on things. I believe that we miss out on a true knowledge and understanding. Are you the exception to that? Are you so filled with knowledge that you don't need any more? Well, I'm tapped out. That's it. The cup will overflow if I learn one more thing. Are you the exception to that? Do you need not work? Paul says it is the Christian's purpose when we look in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The preparation beforehand of these good works was not by the mind of men, but rather by the determination of God. And to say, I don't need to work, I don't need to be involved in the work of a local congregation or the work of a Christian, is to say, God, you don't know what you prepared beforehand, because I know better. And I don't have to do it. And I'm not going to do it. God knows best. We are commanded to work. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Who without partiality judges according to each one's work. No one misunderstand what I'm saying. We're involved in a study on grace. You cannot work to earn salvation. But you have to work in order to be pleasing unto the Lord, to be in fellowship with Him. Romans 12, verse 6 through 9. William, would you read that, please?
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good.
That's the reason for local congregations as we look here. Not every one person has all the same attributes. They have skills, they have abilities in different areas. Combined together, the work then proceeds that God expects to be done. And wherever that takes place, you then have this body. As the church, of course, is given to us as an example, you have a body then that is not crippled, a body that is not deficient, a body then that is working together. A body that is not having to drag someone along with them member along with them because they refuse to work, but one that is engaged in the work. Do you need not work? The Lord says you do. Are you the exception to the rule? Do you need no guidance? Paul says teachers have a purpose. Romans 10, chapter verses 13 through 15, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know, wherever I think back and look at the teaching that I've heard over the years, it was needful. There were things that were taught that I agreed with. There were things that I taught that I heard taught that I disagreed with, and I went and I studied more and found out, well, I was wrong. There were things that were taught in sermons that cut me, and I didn't like hearing it. But it caused me to look at myself. And I'll tell you, without us having that guidance and direction through God's Word, the teaching through the gospel of Christ Jesus, we're left to our own devices. And being left to our own devices, we will always be satisfied. We will never have our feelings hurt. We'll never be pushed. We'll never have to seek growth whatsoever. We'll just maintain the status quo. We will always be able to find the path of least resistance. Never push ourselves. Never have any expectations on ourselves whatsoever. And I don't believe, whenever I look at what is taught in God's Word, that that is the purpose for the gospel and the proclamation of it. It is to push us. It is for us to be better. Teachers are commanded to teach. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. With a purpose behind it. We look at that. Jack, would you read that, please?
And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
We look at this teaching. Paul tells Timothy, you listen to my teaching because it is from God. It's by inspiration. But it's also for another purpose. The growth of teachers that can teach others. That as they pass it on, it continues on. And it promulgates throughout the congregation. Where the congregation becomes a congregation of teachers. And that's what I'm not talking about everybody standing in the pulpit. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about able to teach. And sometimes by example, but also by the Word of God being spoken and being taught to others. Are you the exception to it? Well, I just don't like being pushed. No one does. I don't like the thought of having to do things that make me uncomfortable. Well, no one does. When we look at this, it's not about our comfort. It's about pleasing God. It's about doing His will. And the guidance that we get through His Word. No one is the exception to the rule. When we think about this, from the standpoint of all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, baptism then is needed. It's needed if you understand that. Congregations are for united spiritual benefit. Sandy, would you please read Philippians 1, 27 and following there. Yeah, I've got it on the screen.
Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I can hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Okay, that's the last part's mine. Thank you. I know of congregations that were just enamored with certain preachers. And it is a wonderful thing for a preacher to be able to reach congregations and to affect them in a very positive way. And the preacher that I'm talking about was not someone that called attention to himself. The congregation just loved him. And he moved away and they would call him back every year and have a gospel meeting with him. There were so many members that never attended, that never worked, that never did anything in the community, that never gave assistance to other brethren. But in his absence, while in his absence, but whenever he was invited back for a gospel meeting, they were there every time the doors were open. Whenever you think about that, the United Spiritual Benefit is not about the preacher. It's about our souls and the work that we have to do. We are to identify then with the local congregation and attend faithfully. Study is for knowledge of God's Word. Get a reading on that if you would, Daryl.
Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. This knowledge of God's Word is for all.
Yes. It's not just for the elders, the preacher, the deacons, those recognized by the knowledge is for all. Working for the Lord is required of the saved. Greg, would you please read 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, and 4.
Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in your Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, that we are election of God.
It's not only our duty, it should be our desire, because we have such a gracious God that has saved us. A God that has given His Son for us. A God that has made all provision for us while we're here upon this earth, and not only here upon this earth, but if we will do His will, He's made provision in heaven for us. Yes, it is an aspect of duty, but even more than that, it should be out of desire. And I will suggest that if it is not out of desire, then we are only serving God by works, just duty. And we cannot reach heaven that way. Instruction by others is for our furtherance also. We look at that. William, would you please read that, please? Acts 17:11.
These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so.
Guidance is to be scrutinized, and then received. It causes us to look inward. It causes us to make corrections in our life. Instruction by others is for our furtherance. It should be just as we see Peter speaking of Paul, who addressed him down before others while he was at Antioch of Syria for being inconsistent. And then comes back in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, verses 15 and following, calls him our beloved brother Paul. And that should be the attitude. Thank you. Thank you for pointing out the weaknesses. Thank you for pointing out the inconsistency in my life. Thank you for pointing out the things that I need for salvation. Thank you for having a care and concern of my soul. When we think about this, are you the exception to the rule in these things? Are you the only Christian that can get by without these things? Are you the only one that is so strong that you need no one else? You need no help whatsoever. Yes, God is there, absolutely, but you don't need the brethren. I will submit to you, you are as the removed appendix from the Bible, from the body, after surgery, that's sitting outside outside the body in a tray that is about to be thrown away. Consider that. Don't be the exception to the rule. Be part of God's expectation. Be a benefit not only for yourself, but you be a benefit for others. Do you realize in doing these things, you become a benefit to others also? How wonderful that is. Oh, nobody ever pays attention to me. That might be our excuse. Of course, we're not willing to try. And just in that trying, people will pay attention. And it might be that by your example and by one word that you speak, you could bring someone to Christ Jesus. How wonderful that would be, would it not? If there are those we can help this afternoon, won't you come as we stand and sing?